So warm welcome. Warm welcome, everyone. Just settling in. Nice to see all of you. And as we usually do, we'll start with a 45-minute meditation. Please come as you are. You'll notice there's still a little bustling around as people are coming in and getting settled. So to just let yourself incorporate the activity of your own mind, of your own body, what it took to get here, and allowing yourself to land. Land in this moment. Feeling the weight of your body on the cushion or chair. Contact of your feet on whatever surface they're touching. Noticing any ambient sounds in the room. Or outside of the room in the building, outside your windows. And allowing all of that to be part of the field of awareness. Ajahn Chah. Famous Thai forest tradition teacher has a saying, let sound come to you. You don't need to go out and bother the sound, be bothered by it. The invitation in this meditation is to let sound come to you. Let each event at this moment come to you. All within the field of awareness, noticing sensations, perhaps of the body, whether through sound or body sensation or breathing, anchoring the attention here, this moment, now. Inviting a sense of non-contention, not fighting with conditions as they are. Perhaps noticing the sound of my voice appearing, lasting for a while, disappearing. Noticing gaps between breaths. Or what is heard, and then noticing the arising again. Relaxing. Recognizing. Allowing and trusting this moment. This breath. Allowing the heart and mind to settle, be grounded here. It can be helpful early in a meditation session to check your attitude, your relationship to whatever is arising in the field of awareness. And to rededicate yourself, refresh your awareness with interest. Allowing. Settling in each breath, each sensation, or the tapestry of the ongoing flow of everything. Rising and passing away. Allowing. Letting be. From time to time, noticing any mental event, thoughts, judgments, emotions. Noticing these too are things that arise and fade away in the field of awareness. No need to tangle up or get engaged. Just allowing and returning to the experience of this body, this moment, now. Mind, your mind has wandered. The instruction is simply to notice wandering. And in that noticing arises the field of mindfulness. Man, as this sitting begins to draw to a close, the invitation is to look inside your heart, your mind, and back over the course of these 40-some minutes of practice. And gather up, soak in any moment, however small, of mindful awareness, calm, peace, understanding, kindness, being with any moments of goodness. And savor them. Take nourishment. And from that nourished place, offering kindness and compassion to any difficulties that arose, if they did. And then extending that field of well-wishing outwards to your fellow practitioners here in this room, in the Zoom room. And those who cannot be present right now. Spreading good wishes, metta, outwards to anyone and everyone who feels right to offer kindness to, including yourself. May our practice here together be a benefit in our own lives and all of the lives we touch directly and indirectly. May the goodness of this practice ripple outwards and outwards until all beings are safe, peaceful, and free. Hello, friends. Good to be with you today. I want to offer a few reflections. For many of us, this is a holiday season. And can be kind of busy. For some people, it can be challenging. For others, it's good, but just kind of a lot more activity than usual. Sometimes more or less socializing than usual. So for me, I find it helpful this time of year to spend a little bit of time within, cultivating a sense of enoughness. Just a sense of enoughness without having to buy anything, go anywhere, do anything. And I'm going to share some of the Buddha's words about that. So the larger context of this teaching that I'm about to give comes from a discourse in which the Buddha had just described the chaotic society that was being rebuilt by some brave people with a lot of ethical integrity and allowed their ethical integrity to spread amongst themselves and others. And then the Buddha addressed his practitioners directly after telling this story and said, "This is how you, as practitioners, can navigate difficult times or busy times, any kind of confusion or unsettledness in your life or the world." And there are many, many ways. This is just one teaching. And in this particular context, what he taught was a way of cultivating inner enoughness, a sort of wellspring of well-being within. And the first, most important thing he recommended was that his practitioners stick to their own ancestral homeland, their own field. And literally here, he means the Pali word is for field, but it has a second meaning. There's always this wordplay going on in the Buddha's teachings. And the other meaning is the field of awareness itself, sati, mindfulness. That if we return home to awareness again and again, that in itself is a way to navigate, to be simple, to be calm. And then he had five specific kind of areas to focus on, shall we say. And he talked about them being the cultivation of happiness, lifespan, beauty, wealth, and power. He wasn't talking about the way the world usually sees those things. Instead, he was saying, "This, for you who are practitioners, these are ways you can cultivate things. This beauty, this lifespan, this happiness, this wealth, this power." He talks about beauty being ethical integrity itself, non-harming as best we can. And that virtue is something that can be picked up on by others. In other places in the Buddha's teachings, they talk about the scent of virtue being like the scent of the most delicate, sweet flower. You might not know quite where the goodness is coming from, but it feels, smells amazing. So this idea that the kind of goodness that walks out from a person who's ethical, virtuous, has a shift of ambiance. Their field shifts others simply by their presence sometimes. When the Buddha talks about happiness for practitioners, he talks about cultivating a sense of settledness in the moment, settledness in the practice. Some people call this concentration. I don't really like that word because to me it connotes wrinkling the brow and like getting really boring down on something. So instead, a settledness, a unification with your own experience of the moment as simply as possible. This quite dramatically, palpably can lead to a sense of happiness. If you think about how you feel if you've ever been in flow with something, whether it's riding a bike, playing a musical instrument, practicing a sport or a craft or an art, that kind of flow has its own happiness that comes from the process of being unified. So that's inner happiness for a practitioner, or one form of it. There are many. The Buddha also talks about lifespan. And here, the context of this teaching is a myth. So he talks about cultivating a mental acuity that can actually increase physical lifespan. But that's a tiny part of the teaching. And the rest of the teaching is about ways of cultivating complete immersion, engagement in the moment, enthusiasm, cultivating a sense of energy, of inquiry, that this brings our minds, our hearts, our attention closer in to truing up with life. And that makes each moment feel more nourishing, sometimes longer, or at least savored more if it's short. And then the Buddha talks about wealth, inner wealth. And I love this part of his teaching. He's talking here, he names the immeasurables, also called the Brahma Viharas, the divine abidings. And these are qualities of heart that many of you are already familiar with from your daily lives or from practice. We often end the sits with metta, loving kindness. That is a form of wealth. With compassion, also true form of inner empathetic or altruistic joy, joy in someone else's happiness. His Holiness the Dalai Lama says that if you want to increase your odds for joy by 10,000 to one, start taking joy in other people's happiness too. Your own happiness goes way up. And then the last one, equanimity. So these states of mind, these states of heart, the Buddha describes as a form of inner wealth. And I know for myself in my own life, I've been through different cycles of having physical wealth or not having physical wealth. And after basic needs are met, and I don't in any way want to dismiss basic needs of food, shelter, basic security, water, relationship. After those are met, my state of mind had more bearing on my happiness than any physical thing, including money. And that's true for many, many serious practitioners, including the monks that the Buddha was talking to, who had nothing but their robes and their bowl. Those were their only worldly possessions, maybe a little bit of medicine. And yet they were known back in ancient India as the happy ones. The happy ones. Isn't that something? This is a poem on kindness. See if I can find the right one. This is by a Native American poet, Rosemary Wautola Traumer. Kindness. Consider the tulip. How long ago someone's hand planted a bulb and gave to this place a living scrap of beauty. How it rises every spring out of the same soil, which is, of course, not the same soil at all, but new. Consider the six red petals, the yellow at the center, the soft green rubber of the stem, how it bows to the world. How, the longer you sit beside the tulip, the more you want to bow too. It is this way with kindness. Someone plants a bit of beauty, a kind word perhaps, or a touch, a gift of their time or their smile. And years later, in that inner soil, that beauty emerges again, pushing aside the dead leaves, insisting on loveliness, a celebration of the one who planted it, the one who perceives it, in the fertile place in which it has grown. Kindness. So, in these days, whether they be busy or sparse, leading up to the longest night of the year, my encouragement to you is to take some time with that inner field of awareness, that soil in which kindness can grow. Remember acts of kindness that others have done for you, that you've done for others, that you've observed between people, and allow those to enrich you, to nourish your heart, your body, your spirit. So, taking a few moments each day, perhaps, to remember your own inner wealth, beauty, lifespan, happiness, and power. And if you feel so inclined, if you're overflowing, pay it forward, offer it to someone else. It only grows. Thank you, friends, for your attention. Please take what is useful and leave the rest. Before we formally close, just want to check and see if there are announcements from the Sangha, and then I have one announcement. Annie.
Oh. Good, no. Oh, good. Oh, I'll be teaching a practical mindfulness class at Cabrillo in February.
Okay. What's your name?
I'm Jeffrey Hotchkiss,
Okay.
and it should be a lot of fun.
Great.
So it'll be out in the next catalog, which hits in about a week, I guess.
Okay. And unlike this place, Cabrillo charges, right?
They do. It's
Okay.
$40.
Okay. So a practical mindfulness class. Thank you. I also want to mention that there will be a all Dana Buddhist meditation class, basics, Buddhist basics, starting in third week of January here on Wednesday evenings. So you have multiple options there. That is being taught by Bill Coleman, a longtime practitioner here. And Manny, you had an announcement as well, I think.
Just speaking of Donna, we're still in the middle of our I just lost it.
Annual
Annual
fund.
fundraiser.
Yes.
And I want to remind everybody of the baskets, the Donna baskets in back for the community and for the instructors, because they spend a lot of time doing this work for us and they need to be supported. And if you can't give monetarily, you can volunteer, go on the website, check that out, and it's a great way to give back. And we appreciate everything you do for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Manny. And if anyone wants more information about volunteering, I have a list of some of the most useful volunteer roles. And just to plug this personally, I started out volunteering very early on in my time in attending sanghas 20 years ago, and it has been a joy in my life. I made many friends that way, built community that way. It's a lovely thing to do. It can bring joy and a sense of settledness. So, thank you all for coming. And Bob Stahl will be, well, I'll be teaching here next week, and then Bob Stahl will be teaching December 26th and the first week in January. So we are going right through the holidays. Please come back if it feels supportive for you. And may all beings dedicate, may all beings benefit from this practice. Well, and enjoy your practice.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for coming, Zoom Sangha.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.